So I was going to talk about daily life practice this evening, but again, there's a change of program due to a number of questions that came in relationship to metta meditation. What is its role? How does it work? How do you blend it with vipassana? Is it different? Is it the same? So I really sense that it's important to clarify some doubts about this. And we'll be talking about daily life practice and ways of bringing the practice home, skills, tomorrow morning. So loving kindness, this quality of metta, is extremely precious. Not only is it precious for our own sense of well-being, but it's so precious to expand it so that the world can have a better vibe. And there's no doubt that since we're all interconnected, any amount... any amount of love, loving vibe, open feeling of heart can change the world. So where does loving kindness come into play? Well, in all cases, whether it's metta practice, whether it's compassion practice, whether it's practicing joy or vipassana, it's a deepening of an understanding of ourself. There's an expansion of the quality of connection where we can begin to sense also the widening of our focus to include how we relate to others. There's no doubt that everything in our life is due to relationship, right? We're relational beings. We have been relating with ourselves quite a lot this week. And there's no doubt that as from tomorrow, we're going to be relating to other beings, to one another first, and then we can expand this wonderful capacity that we have to interconnect, to be together. And the big task is, as you know, difficult. How can we be together, not from a place of nourishing violence, aggressivity, aggression, and anger, which sometimes happens, but be together from a place of tolerance? And I think that the first thing between ourself and another, before we even speak of loving kindness, is already to have this possibility, potential of tolerances for the differences. And what does that mean? It means respect. That we can respect that we may have different views, that we may have different ideas, that we may have a way of life which is different. But we are enabling this enclosure to be able to allow, to tolerate this. And we can see that actually at times the world is shrinking in relationship to world views. Right? And it's very clear. It's so fascinating in my own country how this is working. Right? The more we speak about globalization, like, you know, well, the internet and global and we're all one and it's fantastic, the more we can see, actually, the people in my own country shrink and there's a base of fear, you know, that people now in Europe actually are fighting and they want regional, not even one country, but regional, not in Switzerland, but this happens in Belgium, and it's soon going to happen in Spain, you know, and the Scottish people voted. It didn't pass, but it's fascinating to see how this also affects our way of living, our way of life. So the more there's this sense of globalization, the more people have a sense that they're losing their own identity and roots. And I think there's a middle path. And so fantastic that the Buddha talked about the middle path, that we don't need to shrink and just close and shut down on ourselves, right? But there can be an expansion of that opening to the level that we feel some sense of balance, comfort, and it's not fear that guides us. I really sense this metta practice in relationship to what I just explored, that we are enabling in our own practice and our own being a very clear expansion of our own container to the extent that there is a sense of ease of well-being. And of course, we may start very narrow, narrow in our minds, narrow in our hearts, you know, small, small. But the metta practice helps really immensely on that level. So what is metta? It's this very clear, basic goodwill. Very clearly, it's goodwill. It's a benevolence, a kindness. It's a mental factor. It's a mind state. It's not in the realm of an emotion. It's a mental factor, like joy maybe, or calm, right? So it's not in at the level of emotion. When we speak of emotions, it's much more kind of an emotion is the state where there's more intensity, right? Like anger is definitely a type of emotion where you feel kind of a sense of turbulence. So it's a mental factor. It's a mind state. It has a quality of peace in it. So they're tranquilizing these factors of joy, of compassion, and of metta. So we expand this care and this kindness in ways that we are totally, incredibly opening the field of presence, not only to include ourself, our being, our kind of body feeling and our heart, but gradually there's a progression that we can connect with this quality to all beings. And it requires practice. We embrace the quality of kindness and care to the extent that it's possible. So we start out with someone who is very easy for us, right? For most people, usually it's not ourselves. And then we say, oh, but I can't do this practice. It's horrible, you know. I can't love myself. I hate myself, right? This is exactly where I started. I resisted the practice of metta for a long, long, long time. It's amazing. Because of the view that I was unworthy of even expressing a phrase of kindness towards myself. Can you imagine? There's a path. It's a long path. It's a long process. This is more than 35 years ago. And oh goodness, am I grateful. I am totally full of gratitude for this very practice. Because it really changed the whole field of presence in relationship to understanding, to wisdom, to acceptance, to allowing what is just to be. And I don't think that I would have had that nourishment, you can say the soil of care and kindness had I not been able to slowly, slowly begin with the easy. So when I said the other night, you can begin with an animal, that's exactly what I did. When you are betrayed from human beings, which sometimes happens for people, you know, as a child, well, you understand that it's not so easy to open the heart towards the human realm. Therefore, you say, okay, my heart is closed. And you think it can be staying closed forever. And actually, it's exactly the appropriate way where you say, maybe there is a way. And I had such a wise and compassionate teacher who very clearly understood the difficulty that was happening and said, you can do it with a kitten. Practice metta for a kitten. You can do it for a baby. You can do it for something which is actually vulnerable. The vulnerability helps us be in a phase and in a relationship where we can begin to open, because who we're sending it to is also very vulnerable. It's sweet. It's small. It won't hurt. It cannot harm. See? So we have the possibility of always having this potential to be able to offer and receive kindness. It can be to the flowers. It can be to the trees. It can be to the ocean. So it's not about needing it to be a certain way. So open. And that, of course, can be a way in. Then we stretch our hearts. And we can include slowly, slowly, there's a gradual process where we can include maybe someone with whom we have an easy connection. Like there are people who also help us in our life, for whom we have gratitude, like a grandmother. Look. Look at my cup. Usually the grandma, if you had one. She plays a big role in relationship to kindness and care, right? So you begin where it's really, really easy and staying as long as you wish with that easy being. So it's very simple. It's really, sometimes people say, oh my gosh, it's so artificial. It's too simple, you know? And so when we say simple, we think it's naive, that it's not going to do anything. It's so powerful. It is so powerful, that seed of kindness, to enable ourselves to be touched by a phrase, may I care? May I offer kindness? May you be well. May you be happy. It changes the frame of our mind. So there's no doubt that it's so, so powerful that some people don't think it is, and yet it's the cause for a lot of difficulty to not be able to think that it will make a difference. Any amount of it will make a difference. So it's a gradual process. And just to have a very clear picture, we can expand and understand that we can stay as long as we wish with the baby, the pet, the kitten, and really strengthen. It's like the foundation, right? When you want to build a house, you need to have a really good base. So you build the base and you can stay for weeks, months. It has absolutely no difference. You don't need to like the being. It's not about liking. It's about caring. And the secret here is that actually it changes the inner world. It changes the inner heart. Because, of course, you may send it to someone else, but who is actually benefiting? It's our own heart and mind. So there's no doubt that there's an effect, right? Now, people ask me, will it make an effect to the other person? if it's a person or the kitten? This is a very big question mark. You know, I've had many stories where people have come to me and said, have you done metta for you, for me? And I said, yes, I felt it. So it's amazing. You don't know what's going on. That's really the mystery. But one thing for sure is that if we have a connection and there is a sense that you are growing your possibility, potential for caring, kindness, just opening the heart just a little bit, the moment that you will see this person, whoever it is, it's going to make a difference because you've just worked on that relationship. And so you are in a different space than before practicing the metta. So it's a gradual process. At one point, you can really sense that you can send it to yourself. Then very clearly, it's all friends, right? Family members, people we like, people whom it's easy for. Then what's so amazing is that you move on and we can make the metta flourish and blossom for people we don't know. That's totally amazing because it's not based on knowing the person, on liking the person. This is why we say it's unconditional. So you can be in a place like I very often in airplanes do metta for everybody in the airplane, right? And it's actually great. I mean, I spend time and of course it makes a difference rather than have my tormented thoughts, you know, sometimes on planes, especially nowadays, you know, you say, oh my gosh, is it going to crash or any drama that can come about, you know, and so you create your own fear, as I said yesterday, you know, rather than have all these thoughts that are so, so troublesome in the mind. Whoa, you really catch the metta thought and the care and you can just feel the feeling. Sometimes the thoughts are not so helpful. Sometimes they're very helpful. So for each one of us, it's going to be different. And you're there and it may be, may the universe be happy and be well. And there's a vibe of kindness rather than hatred. It changes really the environment you are living in. So you move on, and it's amazing to be able to do that for people we don't know, and maybe they'll never know that you did metta in the airplane or in a bus or wherever you are in the public. And then you can even move on, and this is very slow process with a lot of care, but this is how there's a progression. Doing metta for people who are difficult for us. And I would not rush. Of course, we're going to say, oh, this is where I'm going to do metta. Of course, I want to resolve the problem with this person, you know. And if you start there, which of course I've tried, you know, even though you hear, don't try, it's going to be too hard, your heart or mind is going to close down. You try. You're not going to die from trying it, you know. But you're going to see that, oh, maybe you don't have the capacity for this person to enter in your field of presence. And it's totally fine. And when this happens, you just say, okay, not now. It's not the moment. Not ready for it yet. And it's not that you're a failure. See, then we have this idea, oh my gosh, I failed. See, I can't even succeed with this person. It's just so amazing how much sense of self can come about. So you return to the easy beings, and then very clearly, after some time, it was just such a surprise the day that a difficult person, I wouldn't call the person an enemy, but someone difficult, by surprise, came in the field of presence, and very naturally there was an openness of saying, just may you be well. Like, this is a human being just like me. This person wants to be happy just like me. May they be well. And that there's confusion. And if people do things that hurt or harm, it's based in the Buddha's teachings from a place of confusion. Really, the root is confusion. And so sometimes we're confused too, right? We're not always clear and we know what we're doing. So we can very clearly sense that that is a potential. If I have hurt someone, you know, we can ask for their kindness. In the same way, in ignorance, in delusion, this can happen too. So this is a progression. And then you open the field of metta to be able to expand it to all beings. Right? So there's a progression. Right? Without forcing it. Staying as much time as you want with the easy category. It's going to deepen the connection rather than rushing. So doing this practice, we're creating conditions. See, we're really allowing for the conditions for happiness to be a little more present. And that's what's so amazing. Rather than creating the conditions for suffering, you know how to do that, right? By now. And probably you've seen how the mind can create its own conditions. Right? So we create conditions for happiness. Every time you plant a seed of metta and water it, you create conditions for happiness. And this is the Buddha. He says, the thought manifests as the word. The word manifests as the deed. The deed, which means the action. The word manifests as the deed. The deed develops into habit. Action becomes habit. And habit hardens into character. So watch the thought and its way with care and let it spring from care born out of concern for all beings. So you see how this is a cause and condition? It's fantastic. Thoughts, right, manifest as actions. Actions, when they're developed on a regular basis, become habit. Habit hardens. It becomes a character, who I am, right? So we need to watch the thoughts, just exactly what I said yesterday, right? And its way with care, with mindfulness. So there's always mindfulness with this practice as well. And let it spring from care, not only born out of concern for you, but for all beings. Because, of course, how we relate with other beings has a way. So this practice really guides us into a very positive direction. Now, many times people will say, oh, but am I not going to be more vulnerable, more sensitive? We can't be open because people are mean out there. And they're, of course, not in the field of indoor where we're, you know, so kind to each other and we've received these teachings. What's so amazing is that actually it strengthens our heart. It doesn't weaken it. It's exactly the opposite. It's stronger. Why is it stronger? Because there is a purification process that is happening. As we are enabling this practice to happen, there's a softening, but there's also a way that we are in a relationship where we are bringing out and we're manifesting a way that we see more clearly what's not metta. So this practice is going to reveal what's not metta, the opposite. And that's exactly what I encountered and why I'm so grateful for this practice, because it will reveal the ill will, the unkindness. Because we see, may I be well, and there's resistance and there's anger in the heart. So it's fascinating to notice that in those moments, it's not about not having the ill will. It's to care about the anger or the annoyance with love, with metta. We can meet that difficulty, the sadness, the anxiety, the fear, whatever it is, with kindness. And therefore, it changes the environment. It's really pretty wonderful. Now, for each one of these beautiful qualities of heart and mind, there's a near neighbor. There's a neighbor. And the neighbor to metta is attachment. Here again, our friend attachment. What does it mean? We are going to meet attachment on the way, right? It's not just, unconditional kindness, care, love. What's the attachment? It's the same attachment as in the Vipassana, right? We are offering some kindness, but we say, I want something back. We have a lot of needs. We have a lot of expectations, a lot of demands, right? So that's where we start. And so there's a little bit of a distortion. There's a very clear sense of first thought, may this person be well. May I be happy. May this person be happy. But then we expect something. And that's the attachment. We expect something back, something in return. And I want me, or I want the other being, to be a certain way. And this, we're bound to meet it. It's totally normal. And it's fine. It's what it is. There's an attachment, and we just are not going to be bargaining. We see it for what it is. This is where I love to blend the metta practice with the Vipassana. Because it's much more fruitful than just doing it in a way where you just repeat the phrases and you do it as a concentration practice. So there's a blend in my way of teaching this metta practice where when you begin to sense the attachment, you say, okay, something's kind of, a little bit hard here. And the mindfulness is always present to see, okay, this is just attachment. And it's purified. It's just a way that, you feel the tightness and the metta will open your heart in that very moment, right? So it's just like a closed fist. And because of metta, it's an open hand. It's very clearly this movement, right? It's fascinating to see. So the close neighbor, it's bound to be there. And it's not that the practice is not working if there's attachment. Metta and greed, they will be seeing the good in others, right? But there's no doubt that we can appreciate the beauty and the wonder of another person a little more if there's no greed and sense the difference, right? So there's just the purity of giving. And metta is giving. It's very clear that it's giving. So it heals the resentments. It heals the angers. It heals the pains. There's a very clear sense of healing if you have been hurt by other beings. And the purpose of this very clear practice is that it reconnects what is fragmented, separated, dissociated, because of hurt, will be healed. So it's pretty wonderful. It helps heal the wounds. A Zen teacher said, practice metta is about learning to be kind, but we will never be kind until we truly experience our unkindness. It's true. It's not false. It's not telling you stories. So it's okay to meet the unkindness. It's not about self. It's about causes and conditions that come together. And when we flourish with this wonderful quality of heart, it's just to see that the unkindness is just a form of aversion. But we don't need to hate ourselves. It's not necessary. And that's exactly what I learned with this practice. It's not because one being has hurt that we need to take over the hurt and continue to build our life on hurting ourselves. And so much of it is happening in this field. There's so much self-hatred. It's become an, Dalai Lama says, it's an epidemic of the West. Do you consider Israel the West? Probably. It's amazing, you know, that kind of self-aversion, like, oh, not being good enough, right? So we have in society this attitude as if we don't deserve happiness. We deserve happiness. And it was so fascinating to read the line of the Buddha where he's very clear on this. He says, you can search in the entire world and not find anyone more deserving of love than yourself. Can you hear this? That really changed my attitude towards myself. This is one of the lines that, you know, I practice with many, many, many months, that we deserve as much as anyone else. So it's kind of the way we relate to ourselves. Huh? So Vipassana will encourage this. It's not that, you know, you may think, oh, but I should have done metta all week. Vipassana will encourage this wonderful quality of heart. How? Because we're allowing ourselves to be with each and every experience, right? There's recognizing and allowing. And so this is a form of metta. There's no doubt. So we don't try to change experience. We just come a little closer to what is with wisdom. The metta will just help that direction. See the goodness. This is the proximate cause, that we can begin to see our own goodness. And there's so many good things. So we can reteach ourselves our loveliness. And the way that we can do this is we can really value the good things that we may have done in our lives. Helping a friend, or just, you know, taking care of someone or service, or just, I'm so grateful and I honor all the beings that have served actually on this retreat. What a gift, you know, they can rejoice in their offering. It's so wonderful that so many volunteers during this week offered their time, their love, their wonderful qualities of cooks and management, and everything's there, full of metta. See, so that the generosity and the metta is totally linked. It's interconnected. And I'm sure they're so grateful for the beauty of the practice and the work that we've done here. It's all a big web of everybody has offered something. We offered the teachings, you offered your practice, your understanding. They offered their practice in the form of service. So it's a web and we embrace it all. It's unconditional kindness and care for one another. So there's an aspect where it becomes more and more natural rather than not. And with practice, this happens. And it's great when it happens. When you begin to feel just a little more accepting of the conditions the way that they are, it's huge. And metta will help that, right? Now, there are things that are important to understand, you know, because on the way, I was kind of really giving so much kind of trust in this metta path that I, of course, did it for a friend who was in great suffering. She had an illness. And this friend and many of us were really doing metta with her in relationship to her illness. And it was a life-threatening illness. So it was cancer. And there was no doubt that all along over the months, she was helped by this very clear quality. And actually, it was the quality that made her really enable to go through all the suffering that you go with the chemo. And I mean, it's just like hell at times. And eventually, this very close friend actually died from cancer, right? And so there were a few moments where over days we said, some disappointment, you know, like if the metta wasn't strong enough or the way we were kind of giving it out was not strong enough. And we sat and I reflected and I said, hey, wait a minute. We need to really be calling for a little bit more wisdom here, right? And the wisdom side says, it's not a question of caring in being in a way attached to a result, to an outcome. There's the laws of the universe, right? The laws of nature, that this being had another journey for herself. And it's not that we didn't fail. We didn't fail. We did everything that we could. And we cared, and we cared for her, and she felt cared. She felt really embraced in this journey. So it's amazing that, again, people, when there's something difficult, we say, oh, but the metta's not working. See, I've been using metta. It was okay. And then as soon as we have something troublesome and life is not going the way that you think it should go, you feel betrayed by the practice. That's a lack of wisdom. There's really a lack of understanding that life is much bigger than that. There's a mystery. There's a way that we need then to call for equanimity. So there's attachment in that relationship. We had some attachment to wanting, of course, her to stay a little bit longer on this earth. And it wasn't so. Right? So there's always the underlying quality of wisdom in the form here of equanimity, right? Things are as they are. We do everything that we can to care. We engage, we participate, we really put our energy, and yet we're not attached to the result. It's fantastic. Because it's not about fixing. It's about caring. So that is really a big aspect, right? And it leads me to say a few little words about the compassion aspect. That was also a question. What is the difference between metta and compassion, right? So metta is loving kindness. It's very clear that it's the positive quality. You are expressing and practicing metta to uplift your mind. If you're depressed, practice metta. Because compassion is just another expression of that wonderful care when there is the presence of suffering. It's exactly the same sense of quality, but it's called compassion because we are then in the presence of suffering. So the phrase then will be, may I be free from pain, or may you be free from pain, or may I care about your pain. So a little bit different direction, and very clearly, if we are very much struggling, it won't be compassion, right? It's going to be probably aversion that comes up. We don't like feeling pain. So it's difficult, right? So better to stay, I feel, helpful to stay quite some time with the metta, because it is the base of care. And then at one point, it may be very valuable to understand that this world is suffering, and there's no doubt about it, but that in the human realm, we can care about our pain as much as we can care to love. Right? So may I care about my suffering, and may I hold it, may I hold myself with kindness in relationship to the suffering. So you see, at times it can be very appropriate to shift to compassion practice. So these are really very similar qualities, but with a different intention. They will both strengthen in relationship to wisdom. Wisdom is the base. Wisdom is nothing else than the freedom from greed, hatred, and delusion. The means is helping when we have metta and, or loving kindness and compassion to journey with. Right? But it's not the end. Okay? So metta is the heart that can connect. It's positive. It sees the good. It really will flourish in the good. It's like water for the desert. I like to call it like that, you know. It's really in an arid land, it's water for the desert. And it's a beautiful feeling. And compassion is much more quivering. It's more poignant because there's suffering which is present. So we feel. It's like, ooh, there may be some tightness, but it's open, because we can open. Because of the care and the kindness, there's an openness. So it's poignant, but it's open. It's not closed. It's never a closed heart when compassion is present. And we're not drowning in the pain. That's what's so amazing. So in a natural way, it's really a response of a very clear sense of gradually enabling ourselves to cultivate a wide and open heart in the face of the 10,000 joys and the 10,000 sorrows. That we understand there's so much beauty in this life. There's so many things that we can have joy about. And there are also sorrows. And it's possible to have a big heart that can open enough to embrace and be balanced to feel the joys and the sorrows of life. A heart that is balanced, that's the wisdom, it's the vipassana, that you don't get lost in the joys, like completely go berserk, and you don't get lost completely in the pains. The Dalai Lama said the essence of all religion is love, compassion, and tolerance. And he calls it religion, right? Well, he's very open-minded, right, as a spiritual leader, there's no doubt. I mean, it's quite an amazing being. And he very clearly says, this is my simple religion. There's no need for temples. No need for complicated philosophy. Our own brain, our own heart is our temple. And the philosophy is kindness. So, of course, it's not to simplify, because he has very deep teachings on philosophy. But there's no doubt that on one aspect, on one level, what is meaningful in this world? You know, like Desmond Tutu the other day, he said, we are all sisters and brothers. We shall all live together or drown together. This is the human predicament today. It's not here we're okay and there it's not okay. We can really sense that there's a global situation here and the interconnectedness more than ever. So it's fascinating that the Dalai Lama can say, you know, our religion is kindness. It's a spiritual way that we can live our life together. And no doubt that this quality of metta helps for that. It's not so easy, as we all know, right? Chalajoku Bek, she's a Zen teacher, she says, practice can be stated very simply. It is moving from a life of hurting myself and others to a life of not hurting myself and others. This is a big task. Oh boy, is it a big task. But it's possible, it's a potential, right? So the kindness and the awareness, they come together. And they're not separated, right? If there's an awareness, we really begin to sense that harming, hurting another is harming ourselves. The consequences we'll feel in ourselves. So this is the teaching of metta. And I think that I'm going to end with a little line from, it's a gift from Gandhi. He says, I believe if one person gains spirituality, the whole world gains that much. And if one person fails, the whole world fails to that extent. So imagine the beautiful work that we've been doing all week. You can rejoice. It's totally amazing. You know? So it's definitely not doing nothing. We're offering a gift to the world. The Dalai Lama says, we are visitors on this planet. Today we can say, for 80, 90, 100 years at the most, during that time we must try to do something good, something useful with our lives, deeply meaningful. Whatever it is, go and do it. Try to be at peace with yourself and help others to share that peace. If you contribute to other people's happiness, you will find your true goal. This is the true meaning of life. So, it's demanding. And yet we can actually change our priorities, right? I mean, really, this means that greed, hatred, and delusion can lessen a little bit. And the opposite states of generosity of heart, loving kindness, opposite of hatred, and wisdom can grow. So let's sit for just a minute in silence. Appreciate the warmth of this room. have a deep wish for you all. May your practice carry you lightly into the depth of your own heart. And from there, may the wisdom which flourishes benefit all beings everywhere. May your practice carry you lightly into the depth of your own heart. And from there, may the wisdom that flourishes benefit all beings everywhere. Thank you. Go get some fresh air.